From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As the Lord Jesus Christ approached the crucifixion, He took some time to prepare His disciples for the time when He would no longer be with them physically. In several passages in the Gospel of John, we find Christ telling His sorrowing disciples that when He returned to heaven, He would send them a Comforter, a reference to the Holy Spirit. In a message entitled, The Comforter, Dr. Cairns is explaining the various ministries of the Holy Spirit to the people of God. First of all, He comforts God's suffering people. Then the Holy Spirit is the Christian's helper, showing that the Spirit has taken Christ's place on earth as the Comforter, and the soul's immediate point of contact with God. On today's program, we'll see the Spirit's role as the Christian's advocate on earth with God, especially as it relates to prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the Word of God, he answers the question, why did Christ have to be God? The video version of these comments may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
The importance of the deity or the Godhood of Jesus Christ to the gospel, first of all, must be very great because it is emphasized so clearly in the Word of God. The prophecies of the Old Testament regarding the coming Redeemer and Messiah emphasize that He would be truly God. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, for example, tells us that He will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Father of Eternity. That's a Hebraism that says He is the Eternal One. So the Old Testament emphasizes He will be God. The New Testament has a variety of lines of evidence that Jesus Christ is God. The name of God is given to Him. The prerogatives of God, for example, that He would be worshipped. God, bringing Him into the world, said, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." Prayer is made to Him. So He's called God. He's worshipped as God. Prayer is made unto Him as God. And there are various texts of Scripture that state emphatically that He is God. Now, with all that, it must be very, very important to the gospel that the Redeemer is a divine Redeemer. So, why is it so important? Well, let me give you two ideas that will only scratch the surface of the subject, but nonetheless will, I think, be helpful. First of all, man is a fallen creature, and no man can be born without sin. No man can live without sin. Any man born of natural generation, any man born of Adam, by natural generation, is a sinner and needs a Savior. That's the first thing. Now, follow that through for a moment, because when God sent His Son into the world, He was born of a virgin. People wonder, why is that so important? Well, let me tell you why it's important. Because the Holy Spirit, according to Luke's Gospel, and according to Paul's words in Galatians 4, verse 4, the Holy Spirit, of the substance of the Virgin Mary, created the human nature of Jesus Christ. Had He been born of natural generation with a human father implanting a human seed, and a woman bringing forth a child, in the normal course of events, the product would have been a person. And that person necessarily would have been a fallen person, needing a Savior, incapable of saving others. When the Son of God came into the world, He united not a human person, but a human nature with himself. A nature sanctified and made holy by the miraculous operation of the Holy Spirit upon the substance of the Virgin Mary. Now, that, I hope, will begin to lift the lid on a deep, deep mystery that we can never really understand. And that is the mystery of the person of Jesus Christ, what theologians call the complex, or to use a big word, the theanthropic person of Christ. God and man in two distinct natures, but one indivisible person forever. He had to be God, because had God not come, there would have been no person other than a human person born of human generation, and that would have been a sinner. That's the first necessity. There is a second line of thought, and this is very important also. Only God has infinite value to his person. The Son of God came into the world, and he took a human nature into union with himself. Now, in his humanity, Jesus Christ obeyed. But the value of the obedience is not just a value that arises from the human nature, but from the entire person. The person of Jesus Christ is of infinite value, and therefore his work is of infinite value. And when you think of what that work had to do, it had to reconcile a lost world. It has to have value that will satisfy the infinite justice and holiness of God. It has to have infinite value that can reach to an innumerable company of sinners to cover them with righteousness, wash away their sin, rightly relate them to God, and save them for all eternity. Only the person of God's Son, manifested in human flesh, could bring such infinite value to bear upon the great subject of man's redemption. So, briefly, we have touched on some deep and mysterious things there, but briefly, that's the reason why Jesus Christ, who is truly man, had to be truly God in order to be the Redeemer. Only a divine Redeemer could be a Redeemer at all.
God's throne of grace is there for you. Come boldly to him, there's grace ever new. His grace will meet your deepest need.
Come.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, are there true prophets in the church today? Or, why does God allow suffering? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
All the proposition may be true, but you meet God by the dynamic activity of the person of the Holy Ghost. There was a time when Calvinism, which had set Europe on fire in the days of John Calvin and John Knox and their followers, which had brought revival, which had been the vehicle of great evangelism, church building, when it became fossilized. My, they had their propositions, and they followed them out, and they became more and more and more minutely exact as they traced out the propositions, and they appeared to leave out the living reality of God the Holy Spirit. And one of the great forces of impetus that gave birth to the modern Arminian movement, which led the church astray and is bringing awful results even to this very day, was seeking to escape the deadness of a Calvinism that simply rejoiced in formulae and had nothing of the living power of the Holy Ghost. God save us from an orthodoxy that's dead. The Holy Spirit is our vital point of contact with God. We need to hold the orthodox faith, but my, we need the Holy Ghost to set it on fire. Dr. Paisley loves to quote the saying of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. He used to say that without evangelistic unction, orthodoxy cannot function. How very, very true. We need to learn this again in the realm of fundamentalism today. There are fundamentalists who are ready to fight everything and everybody that doesn't dot every I and cross every T of their creed. But there's very little evidence of the vital activity of God the Holy Spirit in the midst. He is our immediate point of contact with God. He's like Christ to us in that also he's ever near. He's never far. The comfort and the help that we need is never far away. He's ever near. And not only so, but he's ever clear. Did you ever notice in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was near his disciples, and when he wanted them to do something, he was absolutely clear in making his will known to them, in instruction and in guidance? That is the ministry of the Vicar of Christ. He brings us into vital contact with our God. He breathes life into our creed. He's ever near us. And he's clear in instruction and in guidance. So, he takes the place of Christ on earth. He's our helper. He's our helper because he enables us. There's a lovely word in Romans 8 and 26. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. He helps. He enables. Now tell me, what can you do for God? What can you do? You've got to throw up your hands and say, I can do nothing. You should witness, but how can you witness effectively? You should seek to win souls, but how can you win souls? These are things beyond the ability of man. We are too infirm to do these things. We are told, stand, therefore, and having done all, stand. But how can you stand if you're too weak to stand? Well, thank God, the Holy Spirit is our helper, and he helpeth our infirmities. He takes the weakest of the weak, and he puts power within them. The one who could help and enable the paralytic to stand up and walk is the one who can put power in the weakest believer and enable him to do the will of God. Not only so, he's our helper because he subdues our enemies and his enemies. Think of the words of Isaiah 59 and verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. The standard is the standard of the cross. That's the only standard the Holy Ghost ever lifts up, the old gospel standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God the Holy Spirit helps His people by holding aloft the standard. In ancient times, when men went into battle, when army came against army, when the standard fell, there was general confusion and despair in the ranks, and the army would flee in defeat. Bless God when men would let down the standard, when men would compromise, when churches would go rotten, when apostasy would get into the body politic. God the Holy Spirit says, I will raise up the standard. There's no defeat for the cause of Jesus Christ. There's no defeat for the man who'll stand for God in that cause. He subdues our enemies. So He is our comforter. He is our helper. Thank God He's our advocate on earth with God. The word paraclete has as its basic idea the idea of an advocate. On earth, within our breast, we have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, He maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now in heaven, Christ is our paraclete. He's presenting His blood. That's His plea. And He's presenting our prayers through the merit of His blood to gain an answer. In our hearts, the Holy Ghost is our paraclete. And He is prompting through prayer, according to the will of God, directing our words and our desires so that they may be offered not only on the merit of Christ, but in the power of the Spirit of God. True prayer, you know, is prayer in the Spirit. True prayer, actually, is a prayer conceived by God. One of the great doctrines of Christian theology is called the impassibility of God. Now, don't worry about the term. It's a technical term. It has as its basic meaning the fact that God can never be moved by anything outside of Himself. God is never passive. He is active. Now think of that. Some people have the notion that when we come to pray, we are conjuring up arguments to make God do that which otherwise He wouldn't want to do. Whereas in reality, true prayer has its genesis in God. The words and the desires of true prayer are born within our heart. They are conceived by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So that prayer has its genesis in God. It has its expression by the power of the Spirit of God. It is exalted by the merits of the Son of God. Thank God it's answered by the power of the grace of God. I tell you, the Holy Spirit maketh intercession within us. That's how you pray. Doesn't take you to be a genius to pray. It doesn't take you to be a theologian to pray. In fact, most of the theologians in our day haven't a clue how to pray. And when you read the stupid drivel that they turn out under the term theology, you'll know that you're dealing with men who have never met with God. There are exceptions to that rule, for which I give God thanks. You don't need to be a theologian to pray. But you need to have the Holy Ghost to pray. Every Christian has the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate. Bless God, you can pray. If you're a Christian, you can pray. How often we have been reminded of D.L. Moody's great revival in London. Started off very poorly. Nothing appeared to be working. But Moody was in London, though he didn't know it, because of the prayers of two old women. One of them bedridden, couldn't leave her room. That's why he was there. And that's what kept him there. When they prayed through, Moody saw London move for God. The Holy Spirit is the Christian's advocate with God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.